Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be back in the Lord's house. Good to see each one of you here today. Plus, you've had a great week. It has been a good week. And every day, every week is a great day and a great week in the Lord. And God's good in all His ways. He's good. And all the things we have to deal with, face in our life, God's still good, folks. He always has been. He always will be. He's better to me than I deserve. I asked this person I know that every time I ask him, how you doing? He always says, I'm doing better than I deserve. And that's a fact, folks. That's a fact. God's good. And I'm glad today to be here. Well, I trust again you're glad to be in the Lord's house today. It's a beautiful day, opportunity once again to be together. One day it's going to be our last day, folks. That's going to all be over with, but until then, may the Lord help us and unite us and help us to grow together in the Lord that we might do His work, His will for our life while we're here on this earth. We have an opportunity in front of us, folks, a big opportunity to do something for God. We really do. The world needs the Lord, and we're here as vessels, hopefully going to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through our life daily. So, thank you for being here today. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Again, Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about, of course, the walk of the believer. Practical things, how to live as a new man in Christ. How we're to live our life, how we're to walk. Things we're to do, things we're not to do. And Paul gives us illustrations here and facts here from the Word of God, practical things that we need to do in our lives and to help us to grow and to be what we ought to be for God. I'm glad for the practical things that we have recorded in the Word of God to reveal to me my life the way it ought to be. And we've been talking about this for a number of weeks here now, and today we're going to continue with the Lord's help. Let's read one verse. Chapter 4, verse 25, Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Then we'll have prayer and get into our lesson. Wherefore, putting away, what's the next word?
Lying.
Okay. We said last week, again, we talked about this, putting away lying. Notice it says, speak every man truth with his who?
Neighbor.
Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this time we have together. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. And God, I pray now, Lord, as we come together, that the Spirit of God would reveal to us truths that we need to know and apply in our life daily. Thank you for the Word of God that we have to direct us and to instruct us and to help us, Lord, as we journey this pilgrim journey here on this earth. Father, bless now this time we have together. Bless your people. Lord, may each one be encouraged today and strengthened from your word. And God bless those that are not with us today. I pray you help them to be better, to feel better. And God, that they might be back again as soon as possible. So, Father, we commit now ourselves and this time to you. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been talking about, again, the believer's life, the believer's walk, as we are here on this earth. The walk of a believer, we're talking about putting away, talking about putting on, putting off things in our life that are necessary to live the Christian life. Now, I want you to go back to John, book of John, and chapter 11. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I want to bring this up again. You know, we were singing that song this morning. He gave me by our garments of flesh, how we put them away. And we find here in this John chapter 11, where we read a few weeks ago, talking about being crucified with Christ as a new man. Being crucified with Christ and being raised to walk in the newness of life. That's in Romans chapter 6. But in John chapter 11, we found here, as we read a few weeks ago, about, of course, Jesus at the very grave of Lazarus, beginning in verse 38, down through about 43, talking about how that Jesus went to the grave there. And notice he instructed them in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hast heard, I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, notice, bound hand and foot with what? Grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Now notice what Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Lazarus came forth from the grave. He was bound with a napkin around his face, grave clothes on, and Jesus told them, loose him and let him go. In other words, take those clothes off, if you please, and let him go. Let him be a new man now, a new person now. Well, likewise, that's a picture of us in Christ Jesus as a new man. Last week I talked about some of the things, some of the things that we have brought with us all our life. And we need sometimes to put those things away in order to live the way God wants us to live. And because we've carried these things all our life, sometimes it's hard to put them away. I mean, we put them down and pick them up, put them down and pick them up, you know. But we need to put some things away. And Paul was talking about that over here in the book of Ephesians where we are. We talked about the garment of lying, the clothes, the grave clothes, lying, and how effective it is and how destructive it is in the lives of people that it's done in. We talked about how the charge here that Paul has given the church, the people in Ephesians, he tells them to put it away in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. We notice the charge here. We talked about lying. What is a lie? It's a statement. It could be a very act that is deceptive to somebody else. Why do people lie? What is the motive? Sometimes it's a desire to hurt somebody. Maybe that somebody has said something to them or whatever. It also is to promote oneself. To promote oneself. It can be through fear, or it can be through pride that someone wants to try to promote themselves. So that's the motives for lying. But now, notice something else about lying. Lying, again, we talked about last week. What does it do? What does it do when we lie? First of all, it misrepresents the truth. It misrepresents the truth. And the truth is very, very important. I said last week again, one of the most important things in our life as a Christian and as an individual, as just people in general, is simply the truth. The truth is so important. I want to be told the truth. You want to be told the truth. And we ought to also tell the truth. Because it's just so important in our lives. And lie misrepresents the truth. But yet we see that the truth is not made much of today. It is people just don't want to tell the truth this day. Now, it's hard to do that for people. But anyway, lying misrepresents the truth. Lying deceives people. It deceives people. And though we know that deception certainly is not of God, it's of the devil, but lying causes misunderstanding. Deception causes misunderstanding. When we're deceived, we misunderstand. We misunderstand what's going on. We also said that lying builds a wrong relationship. A wrong relationship. Now, we talked about all this last week in Genesis chapter 3, Eve with the serpent there, and also Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. How this illustrates exactly what lying does in our lives, in the lives of other people. So We see that the scripture gives us a strong reason here to put away lying. The believer is to be altogether true in everything he does. Altogether true, and see this what would be. Now, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Lying also is not what it professes to be. We talked about this a little bit. In 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 21. John says, I have written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. So we see here in this passage that lying is not what it professes to be. It's not what it professes to be. Now go down to verse number 27. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Lying is opposed to the truth. Lying is opposed to the truth. Now, if we belong to truth, if we belong to Jesus Christ, who is the truth, right? Why do we indulge in lies? Why do we indulge in lies? We see here that truth is so important in our life, not only as a Christian, but in our social life. I talk about with people we deal with daily, Christians or non-Christians. It's very important to realize that we're to do this. Look at the second part of verse number 25. It says, "For wherefore putting away lying," the next phrase says, "Speak every man truth with his neighbor." Speak truth with his neighbor. Again, we see here that what is truth is simply it's a fact, it's a standard, it's a quality of God. And we're to speak the truth to our neighbors as well as our believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's very, very important. Truth is a quality of God. God is truth. And God expects his children to speak the truth also. We also see that truth, look at truth as opposed to lying. Truth as being opposed to lying, it is. We said again that lying is an expression, intention to deceive, is intended to deceive, but truth is not. Truth is to edify and to encourage one another when we speak the truth. Now, notice the circumstances in our life as a Christian. When we have the opportunity to speak the truth, first of all, in a conversation, just in general talking, we have the opportunity to speak the truth, don't we? And we should speak the truth. See, Christians ought to be truthful in conversation. Lie not one to another. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, a few pages over. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 9. Colossians 3, verse 9. The Bible says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off," who? "The old man with his deeds." You have put off the old man with his deeds. Coming up, growing up, no doubt all of us have told a lie before. The Bible tells us to put it away. Put it away. Therefore, we're not to lie one to another, seeing you have put off the old man. You've been buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. You died with Christ. And now we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So Christians ought to always be truthful in our conversation. We also see that truth must be maintained in keeping our testimony. Truth must be maintained in keeping our testimony. Turn back to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6, keeping our testimony. Look at verse number 19. It says, "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." See, A false witness speaketh lies, therefore it sows discord among the brethren, among the people. See, when we lie, we're sowing untruth. Therefore, if it's going to spring up and just keep on springing up. And we find that everybody is going to, you know, be deceived because of that truth. Also, we see that truth is to be maintained also in the matter of a promise. When we make a promise, we are to be determined with everything about us, every fiber about us, that we're going to maintain that promise. We're going to keep that promise. We find that it's a promise to men ought to be like making a vow to God. The Bible says we should not make a vow to God if we're not going to keep it. Likewise, when we make a promise to someone, we need to keep that promise. Now, I realize sometimes circumstances keep us from doing that, but we ought to do everything we can to make it to happen, to come about, you see. So it's very important that we look at this and be sure of this happen, see. We must be as concerned, maybe I should say, in performing as in promising. In other words, whenever I promise somebody something, I should be very consistent in performing and accomplishing that promise, whatever that promise may be that I'm making to somebody. Our performance is very important in fulfilling that promise to society, to mankind that we know here. So the truth is very, very important in social life. Now, the motive to the social life. Again, I said a while ago, nothing is more important in our lives than the simple truth. Nothing is more important than the simple truth. The principles apply to mankind in general, be it a Christian or be it not a Christian. The principle is still the same. We're to put away lying. Put away lying and tell the truth, you see. A lie breaks social contract. Society today needs the truth. Needs the truth, see. It tends to make, when we don't tell the truth, it tends to make society impossible. Impossible. I'm afraid that's where we are today. Society, we don't get along because there's so much lying going on in the world today. So much lying going on everywhere, you see. Everybody's trying to deceive somebody. But society can only exist through trust and exercising mankind. You know as well as I know, when you were boys and girls, and I was a boy, a man's word was his word, and you could stand upon it. You could stand upon it. But today it's no longer that way. It's no longer that way anymore. But it should be, folks. Because it's not, it should be. You know, and therefore we as God's children are to be the ones to be the example that it is. That it is. What I say, you can count upon. You can count upon, you see. And therefore, we see that the principle here is very important. A lie breaks like the golden rule. You know, do unto others as we have others doing to us. The lying breaks that rule. Breaks that rule. I said, liars will tell you a lie, but on the other hand, what does a liar expect from us? The truth. He expects the truth from us, you see. In other words, we deserve to tell one another the truth. We deserve to tell one another the truth. And it's you have the right to expect and also to desire the truth from anybody that you deal with. And likewise do I. I'm thankful today that, you know, there are people in the world, right on, that will tell you the truth and you can count on what they say. I know that. Of course, I know people in my life that do that. But lying prepares the way for further destruction. Further destruction. You know, you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another lie. It just keeps dominoing right on down the road. There we go. And it just seems like there's no end to it. There's no end to it. So we're not to lie. We're not to speak unto every man. The Bible says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. With his neighbor. those that we come in contact, those that we know, those that we live around in our life, we are to speak the truth to. We also see the principle here laid down to apply to Christians. Why should we tell the truth? Well, that's the right thing to do, first of all, isn't it? It's the right thing to do. Excuse me. But notice it says in the last part of this verse, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Notice, for we are members one of another. We are members one of another. We talked about the charge, how we are to put away lying, how we're to speak to our neighbor the truth. And now this is the reason. This is the reason, folks. The Bible tells us, for we are members one of another. One of another. That's the reason we're to speak the truth. It's very, very important. Believers, we should not deceive one another. We should not deceive one another by lying to them. You say, Brother King, why are you saying this? Why are you teaching this? Well, the Bible teaches it. I'm not trying to say that anybody is a liar, okay? But I'm trying to say the Bible warns us, and sometimes we need to be encouraged by the Word of God to recognize what's happening in the world today. Why are people lying to us? Why do they lie to us? Well, first of all, they may not be a Christian. If they are, they've been deceived. They've been deceived, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them if they do that to us, you see. So we see here that it's very important. The principle here is laid down, the reason why we should not lie. First of all, if you're a child of God today, you have had a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And who is God? God is the Father of all truth, isn't He? He's the Father of all truth. Therefore, we should not lie if we belong to God. Who it is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie. God will not lie. And therefore, we have a relationship with God. And therefore, that gives us a reason, again, to awaken and realize that we should not lie also. Also, we've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ in my life, therefore it should inspire me not to lie, but to always speak the truth because of the truth in Jesus Christ. What He's done for me, what He's done for you, and forgiving us and our sins and giving us eternal life, giving us peace and joy and happiness in this world which we live in. Therefore, we find that because of Christ in us, it should behoove us not to tell a lie, not to speak lies. Also, we see because of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Turn back to John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit that lives in us. Look at verse 16 and 17. Here we have the promise of the Spirit. Jesus speaking, He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. I like that, don't you? Forever. Even the Spirit of what? Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit of truth lives with you. You know, I'm so glad today to know that as I walk in my life as a Christian, and I have the tendency sometimes to do things that I question. Is it right or wrong? And I'm so glad the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us as children of God directs us. He helps us to be able to discern whether we should do some things or not do some things. We have within us the ability, you know, not to lie, is what I'm saying. If we will lean upon Him and trust Him and God's presence within us at all times. You know, sometimes we're out and we question about what we should do this, whether we not should do that. I'm so glad that if we just stop and pray and ask God to give us wisdom, give us discernment, He will do that. He'll direct us. He'll show us exactly what we ought to do in our lives because of this. So we see the Holy Spirit lives within us, who is the Spirit of truth. He gives us the Scriptures also that avail to us the truth from God's Word. And I'm glad today that the principles here are laid down for the Christian. God, who is the Father of truth, He lives in us. Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with Him as our Savior. And then we have the Holy Spirit within us to reveal to us the Word of truth, enabling us not to be able to not to lie in our lives as God's children. Folks, we have all the equipment that we need. We have everything in us that's necessary for us not to lie. Now, the thing we have to do is we have to put it away from the old man. The old man is strong, isn't he? He's strong. He has a tendency to want us to do things we shouldn't do in our life. We have to ask God to help us. I'm glad that we have God's presence with us, folks, in this world to live the Christian life. Now, how do we apply all this? Okay? Well, to put away lying. We're to speak to speak the truth to every neighbor, man or neighbor. And then also we see that we are to be a believer, believe all believers. In other words, speak the truth to all believers as we are growing in the Lord. We should be careful as to the truth. Be careful as to the truth. You ever slip sometimes and tell something that you know is not true? I think we all do. Sometimes we slip. So we're to be careful in what we say. We're to be careful in what we say. We're to pray, as the psalmist prayed, remove far from me the way of lying. Remove it from me, the way of lying. Believers are not to even tolerate liars in society. Did you know that? We're not to tolerate liars in society. You say, Brother Heath, how do you do that? We just have to avoid them. Turn back to Psalm 101. Let's look at this verse. Psalm 101. Look at verse number 7. 101 and verse number 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. In other words, he that's a liar will not dwell in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Shall not tarry in my sight. So we see here that we are not even to tolerate liars in our lives, in the society, in which we live. So it's very important as believers concerning the truth and not lying. Put it away. Put it away. Truth is literally, someone said, the cement of society. It's what keeps society together, is the truth. It's the truth. Therefore, we find our society today dwindling away, don't we? Yeah, overall, we do. It's because the truth no longer is spoken. The truth is no longer understood by people. Therefore, society is crumbling. Society is falling. Who's the father of lies? Satan. John 8:44 tells us that. He's the father of lies. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, the first lie told was to Eve. She was deceived. She was deceived. And we find from there, we go on down the road. So watch out for lies. Watch out for lies. You know, be discernful. Ask God to give you help and give you strength and give you wisdom to be able to discern the truth. I'm glad, folks, that we have the truth. You know, we have the truth, the Word of God. We can rely upon this when we can't rely upon other people. You know, I'm so amazed today at how many people today are being deceived by other books and other, quote, versions of the Bible. They're literally being deceived. They're believing a lie. They're believing a lie. I really believe this with my heart. This is the only truth that we have from God, is the Bible, amen, the Word of God, the King James Version of the Bible. I thank God that we can rely upon it. So what do we do to lying? Well, to put it away. To put it away. Have nothing to do with it. Don't even entertain them. Liars. Don't even have nothing to do with them. Just walk away from them. You know. It's like sometimes that people come to your door and try to present to you another gospel, another way of salvation. The Bible says we're not even to bid them God's speed. We just ask them to leave. We just ask them to leave. And God help us to stand up when we need to stand up, especially around people that are known for telling the untruth, known for telling lies in their lives. You see, what does lying do? It misrepresents what? The truth. It misrepresents the truth. People can't, you know, it just messes up the truth. What else does it do? It deceives who? People. It deceives people. You know, I don't like to be deceived, do you? But you know, I really believe that deception is the number one thing that Satan does to mankind today. He deceives us. He deceives us. If we don't know the truth, you know what? We will be deceived. We will be deceived. Therefore, we need to know the truth. We need to know the Word of God that we can stand up against what is trying to be taught to us that is not true. And also, lying builds a wrong relationship. A wrong relationship. You know, I like to have a close relationship with people. A relationship that I know can stand. I was talking yesterday, my wife and I, with some family members, and concerning a family member, and they could see in their life in the last year and a half that something was not right in their life. And this person was, of course, an unbeliever that they were watching, and they were very concerned about this young guy that was, you know, had been deceived. And they could see a change in his life. They want the truth. They're Christians. They love the truth. They want to be around it. But they would invite this man, this young guy, who was this girl's brother, to our house for various occasions, birthdays, parties, or Christmas, or whatever it was. And he got where he wouldn't even come. He wouldn't even come. Okay? And then, lo and behold, we find out later on that he was in trouble. He was in trouble. Therefore, they concluded the reason he wouldn't come to their house because he knew that they wanted the truth. They weren't going to stand for the kind of living that he was living in, the kind of life he was living. And therefore, when he went to that place, he was very miserable. He was very miserable. You know, the Bible says that sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. They won't. A lost person, when he comes to God's house and he hears the gospel over and over and over again, sooner or later he's going to do one of two things. He's going to get saved and stay, or he's going to walk out and leave. One way or the other, that's the way it's going to work. See, because he's either going to accept the truth, or he's going to continue being deceived and accept lies that he's always heard in his life. So it's very necessary that we do this. Now, what is our challenge? What is our charge? Is to put away what? Lying as Christians, you see. Put it away. Have nothing to do with it. Now, why should we put away lying? Because we are believers of one another. Believers of one another. Paul is trying to unify or to encourage unity in the church here at Ephesus. In order for there to be unity, there has to be always the what? The truth. The truth. Lying will disrupt. Lying will deceive. We also see that D.L. Moody said this, and I quote, A Christian in the world is one thing, but the world in a Christian is another. It's another. And that is so true. That is so true. And it's easy, if we're not careful, we're not on guard, to allow the world to come into our lives, folks. It can easily be done because of the deception that Satan plays in the world in which we live in. Everything is, quote, to be good, but it's not always good. We need discernment. We need discernment. We need understanding, and we need knowledge, and we need, most of all, we need truth. We need truth. Thank God we have the truth, folks. We have the truth, the Word of God. And I'm glad, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to live in a world where there wasn't some truth. What would it be like? I mean, you know, society could not exist, could it? It could not exist without truth. We are the vessels as children of God to get the truth out. We have the responsibility, even as Christians, to get the truth out. It's up to us to help change the world by God's help. It's up to us, see, to help change the world that we live in. Maybe one at a time, that's all. One soul at a time, that's all it takes. But God wants us to be that person to help change the world in which we live by telling the truth, by always speaking the truth, by having people to discern. That person wants you to tell them the truth. That person don't want to hear you tell something that's not truth, because they'll mark you off. They'll mark you off. May the Lord help us as believers, as we walk this life and journey down here, to speak the truth to our neighbor, to put away lying, and to speak the truth to one another. Speak the truth to one another. Encourage one another in the truth. I know you do. We all do. We all try to. But you know, as I know, when you walk out those doors, it's a different story. It's a different place than in here, isn't it? It's a different place. It's not easy, folks. It's not easy. Except for the grace of God and the very presence of God in us, we will be just like they are out there when we leave. May the Lord help us to speak the truth. We'll continue next week with another garment that we need to deal with in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Father, I want to thank you for this time. I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, these things are not easy to teach. But yet, Lord, we know that you've encouraged us to teach and preach the whole counsel of God. And God, we know that, Lord, that sometimes it goes against the grain sometimes. But Lord, we need to be reminded. We need to check up sometimes. I know I do in my life. And that you might help me, Lord, to be better, to be what I ought to be for you. So, Father, we commit your word now to our hearts and our lives. And God, strengthen us, encourage us, dear God, to realize why people do what they do today in the world in which we live. Lord, help us to try to make a difference in their lives by your help. Father, now, as we go to the next hour, the next service, I pray, God, that you would bless the singing. Bless the specials. Lord, bless our pastor. Give him the anointing he needs, the power he needs today, dear God, to speak, thus saith the Lord, what you've laid upon his heart to share with us today. And again, if there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray somehow today they might come to know Christ as Savior. Well, thank you and we'll praise you, dear God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.